Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. What a great day it is this morning. Please stand with me as we start our service. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace from the toils that my end will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of his golden glory, of his pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows
Good morning. Welcome to our West Irwin Church of Christ family today, all of those who are here in person and all of those who are joining us online and are a part of our church gathering today. Welcome to all. We are so very glad to have you. If you are here in attendance, you can register that on the back of the pew in front of you. There is an attendance card and you can fill that out. Members and visitors, our guests, we're glad to have you all. Also, encouragement cards on there, prayer request cards. And so please be willing to fill those out. We appreciate it. If you'd rather do that on our app, you're welcome to do that as well. Our online guests can do that also. We want to share a little bit about our group that is in New Orleans. We have a group of members and former members who are in New Orleans. They've done this trip for several years now in the summer, and they are there all this week, so please, please keep them in your prayers. During our communion time, you'll probably notice a couple of things. Number one, we have less trays. All of these men up here are shouting hallelujah that we have tried to cut the trays, the number of trays down in half. And so there are more cups in each of the trays, so we'll have plenty to go around. Along with that, you've heard of supply chain issues. Well, they've hit the world of communion preparation as well. We do have plenty, but that is one of the reasons why we have used a different kind of communion cup last week and this week. We do have some more that we're expecting very soon. So we appreciate everyone's patience. There is bread there, and there is fruit of the vine. So we will be good. Today is our small groups weekend and Sunday. If you're in a small group, then you've likely met with them or will this evening. We have no scheduled activities for our church family this evening because of that. Next week, we'll have our reflections class that will go along in the classroom across the parking lot in our office building. I do also want to emphasize that on Wednesday evening, July 3rd, the night before July the 4th, we will have a homemade ice cream and devotional in our Family Life Center. Want to encourage everyone to be a part of that. If you would like to bring some homemade ice cream, that there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer, and we encourage you to do that and to be a part of that. We will have a short devotional and then enjoy that time of fellowship and ice cream. We appreciate everyone's participation. Our Vacation Bible School is going on in full steam every Wednesday night throughout the summer. And so I know you'll want to be involved in that or at least walk through that area. It is absolutely amazing, the work that has been done there and the fun that is being had every Wednesday night, and we appreciate that. Our youth activities are also in full swing. They were at Six Flags yesterday. They have other activities coming up. We appreciate Nathan and Ethan and others, our parents and others that are working to help make those things happen. We appreciate everyone's involvement there so very much. In our bulletin is a lot more than what I'm sharing, including pictures from our recent Young at Heart dinner. And so I know that you'll want to take a look at that. Look at the bulletin, look at our app, read the West Irwin Wire, and keep up with all the wonderful activities that are going on around here. Before our shepherd, Ken Culpepper, leads us in our prayer this morning, I want to read from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come on this first day of the week to honor and praise you for all that you have done for us on our behalf. To thank you for Jesus, for his willingness to come here and suffer because of our sinfulness. We also thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us comforts us through the difficulties of living in this fallen world. Father, we know that you are the great healer and that your Spirit brings comfort and peace in troubled times. We ask today that you would be with Patsy Bullard, that you'd be with Mary Jean Goodson, Phil Marks, Donna Reed, Gene Chandler, Garrett Smith, Lauren Hinckley's family, Judy Cohort, Sherry Davis, Stan Clark, Cora Stifer, Jimmy Shoemaker. Father, we ask that you give all of these individuals and families specifically what they need and what is best for them at this time. Father, we thank you for all of the people that worship you here at West Irwin. Help us all to encourage each other as we labor here in your service. And as James reminds us, help us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and even slower to become angry. We ask that you give us understanding of the problems we face and wisdom and discernment to make the right decisions. Cleanse our hearts of selfish desires and help us to understand the eternal consequences of our daily decisions. Give us a spirit of unity, offering grace to each other as you have given it so freely to us. Father, we ask that you bless the efforts to spread your word that we at West Irwin do. Father, we ask that you be with Bill as he brings the message here today and cause our hearts and minds to be ready to receive your word. We ask that you be with the individuals that have signed up to help with the World Bible School effort that helps spread your word both locally and in foreign countries. Be with Roberto Alvarez in Guatemala and Derek Brown in Jamaica, EEM, Apologetics Press, and all the others that we have a part of here at West Irwin. Father, as we continue this worship, our hope is that you will be praised and glorified, that Jesus' sacrifice will be remembered and honored, and that we all will leave here encouraged to live this week better than we did last week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Why did my Savior come to
is a very complicated word that is used in a variety of ways. You know, like love those cowboys. Well, sometimes. But Paul seemed determined to define love in several of his writings, Romans, Corinthians, and many other places. Recently, my granddaughter was married, and I read the verses from 1 Corinthians 13. I believe they were appropriate for a wedding, and I also believe they're appropriate for our church meal. See if you agree. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous, nor envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to them, no matter what the cost. You will always believe in them and always stand your ground to defend them. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end. But love goes forever. But God knew in his wisdom that words alone were not enough for his people. He must show his love by example, healing the sick, feeding the poor, comforting a young girl thrown at his feet on a dusty road by a group of hypocrites, or giving second chances to a woman sitting at a watering well all alone, even forgiving and restoring his friends who he had washed their feet and they quickly betrayed him. And then God validated his love with his sacrificial death and burial and the victorious by the resurrection of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Christ is in our heart, is our only hope of glory. So each Sunday we come and to remember our Savior and give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come today to take this bread that remembers the body of Christ given on our behalf. By your mercy and grace, please forgive us and strengthen us so that we might live a life of love. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. pray. Lord, just we're so thankful that you loved us so. Lord, this wine that represents the blood of Jesus and our victory over sin. For God is love. That is the eternal definition of love. So we're so thankful, Father, that you could even be loving us. We pray, Father, that we take this wine in the way that it was intended for the forgiveness of our sins. And we ask God in Jesus' name. Amen. With me with the contribution. Father, we pray for wisdom for our church leaders to use this money to spread the love of God. Lord, help this church to be the home of comfort for the saved, a light to those still lost in the darkness, and a place of benevolence to those in physical need. We pray that West Irwin will be known as a live and active body of believers proclaiming God's truth, the kind of truth that changes lives, a church that stands firm and faithful to the Word, a true witness for God. We love you so. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful.
It's time for our BLAST program. If you are involved in that, you may be dismissed at this time. To help with that, if we'll stand and we'll sing before Bill's lessons. If you have your cards, if you'll get those ready to, these young men are picking them up as we speak. Good job, guys.
Lord, we come before Thee now, at Thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain, shall we seek Thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, our souls depend.
Did you realize that you just sang a prayer? That song was a prayer song. Every verse, every statement is actually addressed to God. We have a lot of songs like that that are prayer songs, and that one is certainly one of them. God's people pray. That's kind of a statement that's a given. If there's one thing that people associate with religion or with Christianity, certainly in particular, it's that God's people pray. That's one thing that we have in common in spite of a lot of other differences. God's people pray. We recognize that, and we've been going through several sermons that have to do with prayer and the powerful prayers of the Bible. And this morning we're going to be looking at some other Bible prayers. And there's a scripture in Revelation chapter 5 that speaks of the prayers of God's people going up and having them represented by these golden bowls full of incense that the elders had, which are the prayers of God's people. As Galen spoke about, we thank the Lord for His love. That's one of the things we do when we pray. We pray gratitude, pray thanksgiving, we pray thankful for the love of God, acknowledging what a great blessing that is. And there are so many other different aspects to our prayers. But this morning, I want us to look at some other Bible prayers. In addition to the ones that we've seen, we'll see a few others next week. And then we're going to look at some of the teaching and the examples of Jesus concerning prayer. But this question as we begin today, what do you expect when you pray? What do you expect when you pray? Do you expect God to act immediately? Do you expect nothing? What do you expect when you pray? Scripture has some things to say about that, and I think a good way to consider that is to look at some of the other Bible prayers that we have and ask ourselves, okay, well, what did they pray for? What did they pray for? And what did they expect? And I want us to turn to one of the last books of the Bible, and it's one of the five one-chapter books. And we're going to read a few verses from the book of 3 John. John wrote those three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, in addition to the Gospel of John, in addition to the Revelation. But in this book, there is a prayer for good health. You've heard me say before, there are times when Scripture prays about things, and it's more about spiritual needs and the gospel being shared, and we're going to see that today as well. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong to pray for good things physically and emotionally for ourselves and for those that we love. And the Bible has examples of just that, including this prayer in 3 John at the beginning of this letter. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. And then verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I love that last verse so much. I share it every once in a while with our kids and with our grandkids. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And that is exactly right. And I know those of you who have children or grandchildren feel the exact same way. But as this prayer begins, it is a prayer for good health. And as we read those verses, I hope that you see that it's a prayer for good physical health as well as good spiritual health. We are to pray for both of those. And the Apostle John certainly does that here. Verse 2, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. Those are things that John is concerned with about his friend Gaius, a very common Greek-Roman name there in the first century. I'm praying that you'll have good health and that things are going well with you. We pray that prayer for our loved ones and friends as well, and we wish them those same things. We wish them well. We wish them a good life, and we pray that they remain and enjoy good health, and that all may go well with them. And yet again, John turns it to the physical, emotional, as well as the spiritual. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. And that's when he transitions to spiritual good health. Good spiritual health. As he continues on to testify, to remind him of how important it is that they have great joy in Christ and that they continue to share their faith and that others may be able to see that and to hear about it. And John says, that's what I hear about you. That you're walking in the truth, living by the truth. Is the idea. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth, that my children are people of the truth. It's physical good health, but it's also spiritual good health. And it's right for us to pray for both of those things, for those who we love. And we understand that when we're close to somebody, we are going to pray those things for them. Because that's what we want. That's what we want for them as much as anything. Good physical health. Good spiritual health. That things will go well with them. Well, there's another prayer that's found in the Old Testament. And we probably wouldn't have heard of this prayer except for a book that came out. Several years ago, it came out in 2000. It was written by Bruce Wilkinson, and the title was The Prayer of Jabez. The Prayer of Jabez. And it's the prayer is found in the statements that we know about this very unique character in Scripture is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. So the name is associated with the word for pain. Verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 4, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Again, this book came out in 2000, and by the year 2008, it had sold over 10 million copies. Pretty popular book, I'd say, this little book on the prayer of Jabez, on these two little verses, and especially the last verse that I read. Now, I can tell you, and you very likely may remember this, that there was a lot of positive response, obviously, but there was also some negative response. There were some who looked at this prayer and looked at Bruce Wilkinson's book and said, well, I'm not sure that that's a good thing. I'm not sure that you should be praying for something so personal, so selfish sounding. Others commented, well, you know, Jesus came along and he said, don't pray repetitious prayers. I think one of the things that Bruce Wilkinson said is to pray this prayer every single day. For 30 days. And so there were some who reacted negatively from that perspective. And I want to say both of those are valid points and concerns and something that you should think about. I can tell you that years ago, after this book came out and after this prayer became famous, these scriptures became famous, I started using that prayer in my life. I would pray the Lord's Prayer most every day. I would pray this prayer. I would recite some scriptures such as Psalm 23 and some passages from Matthew 5 and Romans 8. I would recite in my mind my personal mission statement from Colossians 1, 28 and 29. And I would do those things every day, and they were meaningful to me. And that's the thing about prayer. Is it something that is meaningful to you? That's what Jesus was warning against, because the prayers of the Jewish leaders of his day were not meaningful to them. They were vain repetitions. They were just reciting words. They didn't matter. I've shared before this, the only quote I can remember, except for maybe to be or not to be, but the only quote I can really remember from, you know, junior and senior English with Miss Sheila Parker, and the words of Shakespeare. And I think it's from Julius Caesar, where my words rise up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. And I think that's pretty accurate, isn't it? Obviously, God hears our prayers all the time. He's God. How he's going to react to them is another thing, and that's kind of one of the questions we're asking today. But my responsibility, my call, is to pray these prayers from a sincere and genuine heart, with my mind fully engaged. So it's words and thoughts that are going up to God in prayer. And I can tell you that that's different with different people, what that looks and sounds like. And so as we think of this prayer of Jabez, it does sound a little bit selfish, especially in this translation, in the newest of the NIV versions. I think the one that I used was an older NIV version. And it went like this: "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, so that I would not cause pain." Well, there's some translation things, obviously, that are working there. But as you hear these words and you pray this prayer, one of the things at the end of it that I think is telling is that how did God respond? And God granted his request. Now, God doesn't say yes only to good prayers or to good people. He answers all prayers, yes, no, or wait. I think that's a pretty general statement, but I think accurate. And he may offer people a yes response and give them their heart's desire or what their prayers ask for, even if they still have some growing to do in their lives. Well, Jabez lived a few years before I was born, so I didn't get to talk to him personally about what was the condition of his heart. But this prayer meant a lot to me. And obviously it meant a lot to a lot of other people. And I think it's okay for us to pray this prayer from good motives. Even that part about enlarging my territory, enlarging my influence. Help me, Father, that you'll open some doors for me. Don't we pray that prayer? I think that's what he was talking about. Could have been just for personal, selfish, material gain, but I don't think so. At least that's the perspective I'm using. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm. That's exactly what John just prayed for his friend Gaius, that he would be in good health, that all would go well for him. But I think there's an edge to this prayer that's not just the perspective of keep me from harm, but also keep me from harming others. Keep me from evil, so that I won't be a source of harm or a source of difficulty. The way Paul puts it in Romans is, I won't be a stumbling block to the faith of others because of my sinfulness or because of my attitude. And I think that's part of what this prayer of Jabez represented to him. It's certainly what it represented to me. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain, and so that I will not cause pain for others. Yes, that little book is still available. Yes, along with all the other Bruce Wilkinson books. And I can tell you, I don't buy everything in the books. I don't buy everything in most any book that I read. You probably don't buy everything in the sermons that you hear Bill speak, and I want you to know that is A-okay. Because what do you do with it? Well, you go back and you compare it to this. And this little prayer and this mysterious creature, Jabez, found himself in inspired scripture. And God granted his request. Well, I'll let you play with that on your own time, but let's go on. Two prayers out of the book of Hebrews. We are studying from the book of Hebrews in our Wednesday evening chapel class. And as the writer of Hebrews, that we don't know exactly who that was, but as he gets towards the end of this word of exhortation, as he calls it, 13 chapters, he has a couple of prayers. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 18 and 19, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now, we have heard that a lot already, haven't we? Pray for us. The Apostle Paul says that almost every time he gets close to ending a letter. Pray for us. He certainly asked the Thessalonians to pray for him that he would be able to be rejoined with them. He was taken away much sooner than he anticipated, violently, and ended up sending Timothy back to them because he was so concerned for them. And Timothy comes back and he shares good news, and Paul writes the book of 1 Thessalonians, perhaps a few months later, the letter of 2 Thessalonians, some of the earliest scriptures, if not the earliest scriptures written in the New Testament. And he asks them, pray for us. Pray for us. And the writer of Hebrews says the same thing, but pray for us about what? Pray for us, he says in Hebrews 13, verse 18. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. And so he's asking them to pray that that will be the case. Help us to live honorably. Pray for us that our motives will be good, that our actions will be good, that it will be consistent with the message that we're preaching and writing. But there's more. Again, that physical and spiritual aspect. The spiritual aspect, I think, is seen in verse 18. And then in verse 19, I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Pray that we'll be rejoined. Pray that I can get there. And that's similar to some of the things we read about from the Apostle Paul. Pray for us. The writer of Hebrews says. And then the prayer goes on, but takes a little bit of a different turn. In verses 20 and 21 of Hebrews 13, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The writer of Hebrews has been, throughout the book, throughout the letter, throughout this word of exhortation, has been exhorting them to remain faithful, to not give up their Christian faith, even though they're suffering greatly for it, physically and emotionally. And because of the content of the book, we figure that these are Christians of a primarily Jewish background, and they're considering going back to Judaism because Christianity has brought them nothing but trouble, nothing but suffering. And so throughout, the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus is better. This Christian faith is better. Don't give up on it. And as he prays this prayer, that's what he's praying. He reminds them that it's centered on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he prays that our resurrected Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the soul of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And I'm reminded of a statement in Ephesians chapter 4 as Paul writes to the church of the Ephesians. And he tells them that we have all been given great gifts and different gifts. And the purpose of those gifts is the same, however, to equip God's people for works of service. Such a great line in Ephesians 4. And that's really what the writer of the book of Hebrews is praying for in these verses as well. that that great shepherd of the sheep, the resurrected Lord Jesus, will equip you with everything good for doing his will. And that he may work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He's praying that they will be equipped for every good work, as Paul wrote to Timothy that he was. The way our shepherd Ken Culpepper put it in our shepherd's prayer today, that we would live every day better than the day before. And that's called growth. And that's what John prayed for his friend Gaius. That's what the writer of Hebrews is praying for here. I think that's what the man in 1 Chronicles 4, Jabez, prayed, that's what his life would look like. That God may be working in us, but working in us what is pleasing to him. And that's the key. And I think that's the key to understanding all of these prayers that we've been seeing. Is that what we pray is that God will work in us, but for his glory, not ours. That his will would be done, not ours. Which is what Jesus prayed in the garden, and what he taught us to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes when I pray that prayer, I use first person singular. May your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. The writer of Hebrews prays that God would equip them through Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, for every good work, to do his will, to let God work in us. And so back to our original question. What do you expect when you pray? I think you can expect God to act. Isn't that why we pray? If we don't pray to affect God's actions, why do we do that? Why do we do that? Jonah believed so strongly that his prayers and that the prayers of these pagan Assyrians in Nineveh, he believed so strongly in the power of those prayers approaching God sincerely and genuinely that it would change God's mind. Through Jonah, God's message had been 40 days and I'm going to overthrow this whole city. And from the king on down to the lowest peasant, they repented and they prayed, and sure enough, God relented. And Jonah was mad because they were his enemies. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want God to save them, amazingly enough. Sure hope we're not like that with our enemies. But he knew the power of prayer, and he prayed it, and God gave it, answered it, heard their prayers and responded, and saved them. Do you expect God to act on your prayers? Well, I hope you do. I hope that's one of the reasons why you pray, to affect God's actions. Now, ultimately, God is going to do his will, and we're going to read that in just a moment. But this is how Jesus put it in Matthew 7. And again, we're going to hear more from Jesus in a couple of weeks, but that great passage in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, ask and what? It shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For the one who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it'll be open to them. That's how God responds to sincere, searching hearts that reach out to him in prayer. James, the half-brother of Jesus, our Lord, says this in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. So clearly he's talking here about blessings and prayers and requests for things that are taken from a heart that is not in line with God and his will. And so he says in verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so he summarizes this at the end of verse 2 by saying, you do not have because you do not ask. And you're not asking from a heart that is sincere and genuine and a heart that seeks the will of the Father rather than your own selfish will. And so this familiar passage towards the end, at the end of James 4. Now listen, you who say in verse 13, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, verse 15, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So what's the difference? Well, one prayer is seeking the will of the Father. And it's more than just saying, if it's your will. It's actually believing that and wanting that and urging God to act on that. And certainly God wants to hear from us about what our desire is, absolutely. And when that desire is so strong, when it's about something that's going on that's so difficult and so important in our lives or in the lives of those that we love, we must pray about that. And that's sometimes all we can pray about, and God will hear. But in the midst of all of that, we must do what James is calling us to do here at the end of chapter 4. If it is your will. Jesus, at the end of his life, prayed in the garden that this cup would pass from him, and yet he also prayed, not my will, but yours be done. And so the answer to his prayer was no, because that wasn't the Father's will. Our prayers should reflect that same thing. We expect God to act, but on the basis of his will, not mine. We want to share with him what my will is, absolutely. But in the midst of that, we share it from the perspective of thy will be done. We go back to Revelation as we end this morning and look at Revelation chapter 8. A passage in Revelation chapter 8 that once again revisits that thought of prayers going up to God as incense. Revelation 8, verse 3, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Well, what about that? Well, those bowls of incense were the prayers of God's people going up. But these were people who were suffering. These were people whose lives were being threatened, whose lives were being imprisoned, whose lives were being taken from them because of their faith. And they were prayers for God's presence. They were prayers for God's deliverance. They were prayers for God's vindication. And the book of Revelation and its wonderful symbolic apocalyptic imagery is communicating to them, your prayers are being heard, and God one day will act. He will act on your prayers, and he will bring vindication, and he will bring judgment. And much of the chapters that follow share in that exact statement. Do we expect God to act on our prayers? I hope the answer is yes. I hope as you pray that you'll pray, may your will be done, Father, not mine. But here's mine. And I hope it aligns with yours. And if it doesn't, then defeat me. But if it does, then grant these prayers that I give you. Expect God to ask. So a few things as we close. Ask. Pray. Keep praying. Keep asking. And again, Jesus will say some parables about that. And pray, may your will be done. Thy will be done. Pray that. and actually sincerely desire it. For the will of God to be done in your life and in the life of those you love, in the life of those you pray for. And then thirdly, expect God to act on your prayers in ways that may surprise you at times. But I promise you, He will hear and He will act. This morning, if you need to come to that God with prayers on your heart or to become a Christian or to seek Him in a greater way, come as we stand and sing our song together.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Very thankful to announce a couple of things. Number one, Tyler and Crystalline were married here yesterday, and we had a good group here that was sharing in the joy of that and are very thankful and happy for them and all their family. And along with that today, Tyler and Crystalline and Montana and Brody and the two little ones, Olivia and Hunter, who were darling yesterday in the wedding, they are placing membership and officially becoming a part of our West Irwin family. They write, "We are proud to officially sign up as members of West Irwin Church of Christ as a family." And so we're thankful to allow to and welcome them and to encourage them in all the work and worship and activities of our West Irwin family. And we look forward to getting to know them more and more. Let's bow for a moment. Father, thank you for the blessing of a church family. Thank you, Father, for the love and help and service that we receive and that we give as being a part of the body of Christ. So, Father, we pray for this wonderful family. We pray for Tyler and Crystalline in the marriage that they are beginning, and we ask that you would bless them and that their lives would grow in love for each other and in love for you. And love for your word and for your work. Father, we're thankful for Montana and Brody and everything that they have added to our youth group, everything that they have added to our friendship and to our church family already. And we pray that you would bless them. And Father, we pray that you would be with Olivia and Hunter as they grow and learn and continue, Father, to see you acted out in the lives of the people here that they have already fallen in love with and given great hugs to and is seen as their church family. And we pray, Father, that that would continue with them and with all of our children. Father, thank you for the great wisdom and the great love that you had for us in giving us
your church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with me as we have a closing song and a prayer. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. Please come again. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere He leads me in this world below.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we come to you thanking you for your Son, first of all. Lord, each and every one of us has something in our minds and our hearts that's harping on us, that we think about every single day. Lord, we ask that we can lay those at your feet, Lord. Lord, we can't handle it ourselves. Lord, we ask that we lay those problems, those troubles, those needs, everything at your feet. Lord, you are the healer. Lord, I ask that you heal us. Lord, I ask that you be with us every single day. Lord, walk with us, light our path. Lord, I ask that anyone that cannot be here today, Lord, for whatever reason, if they're sick or spiritually sick, Lord, once again, you are the healer, and we ask that you heal them. Lord, as you take us away from this place, we ask that you be with us. Guide, guard, and direct us, Father. And it's in your Son's most precious and holy name I pray. Amen.